tonight.
Yep.
Thank the Lord for just being so good to me.
Yes.
Kevin, I guess, asked me there Sunday night, I believe it was. He said, be ready to preach Sunday night. I said, this Sunday? And he said, yeah. I've been praying about when the Lord will give me the opportunity and the liberty to preach a message that he's been working on me now for about 6 months. And just ain't quite there yet. So that made me nervous. Because, you know, it's kind of like, I guess, as a Sunday school teacher or something, you get something on your mind and you really got a gumption or a want to, but you just ain't got the liberty to. Then Thursday morning at about 2 o'clock, I got woke up, and I thank God for a pastor because he taught me a little bit of something. He taught, and if you've never done this, I encourage you to do so, to have a little bit of a notebook and a pen beside your bed.
Oh, yes.
And it was about 2 o'clock that morning I woke up. And the only thing I thought about is something that the girls aggravate me about all the time when we're driving down the road. They ask one simple question, no matter if we're going to church, if we're going on a long journey, if we're going on vacation. And the question always is, are we there yet? And as I began to sit there and I began to lay there and I began to ponder, we may not read nothing. As I began to ponder and that laying there in the bed, I was like, boy, I ain't where I'm going. But I'm a whole lot better shape than what I was when I started. My destination is already set for me. But praise God, I ain't got to wait till I get there to be able to enjoy it. And so I thank God for that. But as we began to sit down and we began to ponder laying there in the bed, and no doubt if you want to see it, there's a book back there by Lily Joe, and please don't look at the writing because it was pitch black. I hope that I was on the page and it was written in pen. And so as we began to sit there and we began to think about that, I was reminded over there in the book of Exodus. Like I said, we may not read a little anything. Over there in the book of Exodus, no doubt, the children of Israel there had already crossed over the Red Sea. And as they crossed over, they began to question Moses and Aaron. And they began to say, would it not have been better if we'd have stayed over there because you've brought us over here? And in so many words, basically, we're going to starve and die. No doubt. They were living in bondage. Friend, are you in bondage? Are you there yet? I'm being honest with you. You were born into this thing in sin. And I'll be honest with you, it's been sung about all night long, been testified about. But praise God, there's a way out. There's a way out of bondage. But you don't have to wait until you get to the other side to enjoy this thing. So as the children of Israel there, as they was over there, the Bible says they began to murmur. They began to talk. And as I was laying there, Nathaniel, I began to think, boy, there's a lot of times where I start talking. There's a lot of times in that. No doubt, this one here has pinned me to the floor. Why? Because old Jess is one to where I like to, if something just ain't quite going the exact same way, I like to talk about it. I like to conversate, no doubt, confide in my wife. I like to talk about it. Why in the world did I do this? Why in the world did I switch a career for 3 years that the Lord says go back to? I'll be honest with you, I don't know, but it's part of His plan, and so we just got to go with it. And so oftentimes in that, old Jess will begin to overthink things. Old Jess will begin to start talking about things. And if he ain't careful, he'll start trying to talk to other people. No doubt I've had, and that's some folks in my life that's called me from time to time and said, hey, Jesse, do you think it's all right if I do this or if I do that? Friend, the Bible will teach you, don't confide. confide in me. Don't confide in your pastor. Why? Because you already know the answer. You're just seeking somebody else's justification for your sins. Oftentimes we'll try to find somebody. We'll go, we'll say, Creston Burke, what do you think about this, preacher? Do you think we ought to do it this way? Do you think we ought to do it that way? Do you think it's okay? Brother Josh, you taught Sunday school, and you know, I know you taught it this way, but what do you think about this? And what do you think about that? Oftentimes, we'll want somebody to kind of lighten the load, and they'll take the picture, take a little bit of your own conviction. Because you want a man's approval. You want somebody else's approval before you move forward, and the Lord's already put it in your heart. Then I got to thinking over there about Elijah and the prophets of Baal. They were crying out to Baal. The Bible says they even cut themselves. Cried out. And old Elijah over there, he said, cry a little louder. Yeah. Maybe he's on a far journey. Maybe he's asleep over there. Friend, I'm going to be honest with you. There's some people in this world that they've already went to sleep. And I ain't talking about the old grave. They're just fine laying there relaxing with just fire insurance. That's all they want. They don't want in that the life insurance. They don't want the joys in that life. They don't want, praise God, they don't want their house insurance. You may say, Jesse, what are you talking about? I'm glad that I've got fire insurance, no doubt. I'll never see in that the fire pits of hell. But you know what? I'm glad that I've got life insurance. I'm glad that I can enjoy life on this side of eternity. No matter how bad out there is, praise God, we can still have it good. We can still have joy in the time of trouble. We can still have peace in a time of a war. It don't matter if gas gets so high. Guess what? It won't hurt old Jess to walk a little bit further. But guess what? Praise God, I'm going to the bank on this one, because I'm waiting for my house to be fully insured. I ain't talking about 1530 Taylor Place Road either. That place can burn. I'm waiting on that, on my house insurance to be fully insured. No doubt. Our pastor, he'll tell you any time. I believe it was June, and he could probably tell you the exact date when his house got fully insured. He had partial payment, but guess what? He was still banking and that, going to the bank. The one that could write and that to check. The one that made sure that it was fully insured. Oftentimes in that, if you fell asleep, if you've tended in that, I just say, hey, I'm all right. But guess what? It's not just you and your four and no more. They still work to be done. They still folks, even though they's here in Jamestown, these folks, no doubt that they don't want to hear the gospel. But guess what? I thank God in that for Brother George. I'll be honest with you. These people, no doubt, says, who in the world is that man out there preaching and that, yelling and that about Jesus? Guess what, friend? When's the last time you even whispered about him? Now, I ain't putting a Brother George on a pedestal by no means. But when's the last time? You say, well, Jesse, I'm worried about my family. Guess what? Only thing I can say is I'm glad somebody prayed for me. Yeah. I'm glad that there was a saint, as an old man named Charles Webb preached me the gospel. I'm glad that he preached me the gospel, and he preached it true. There's nothing that Charles Webb could ever do for me. He couldn't save my soul, but you know what he done? He told me the truth. He preached the gospel. And friend, I'll be honest with you. You want to know that why there's so many Bibles? Let me back up just a minute. You want me to let you know why there's so many versions of the Bible, but there's only one Bible? It's because people want the Bible to fit their lifestyle. So they find a book to fit their lifestyle. And I believe that there was somebody over in the prayer room last week. I believe it may have even been Adam Beatty. He said that he had some friends that they believed in science. Well, for those that don't know, I've got a degree in biology. Okay? And I'm living proof. There's a song right here. I was going to sing it, but the Lord just wanted us to go ahead. I'm living proof, Brother Kevin, that any dummy can go to college and get a degree. I promise you. But you know what? There's these folks that they'll say, well, science this or science that. If you believe in science, you can't believe the Word of God. Well, friend, I'm going to be honest with you. If you look at the study of life, it only comes from one place. And that's what biology is. Biology is the study of life. And so it only comes from one place. You may say, well, how in the world is that? Well, you tell me how a root takes up nutrients and how it takes up water and everything else. But if you plant a plant in a bucket of soil, the soil, if you weigh it before and you weigh it after, it still weighs the same. The only thing difference is water. You tell me how the water turns in to different molecules. And you tell me, if you can tell me a little bit different things about how mitochondria begin to work and how, and that the plant cells and that they begin to reproduce and everything else. And then, you take a green plant and you produce a red fruit, it don't quite line up. Except one. And that's the giver of life. That's the only one. And so as we began to study about the prophets of Baal there, they were hoping and waiting on the wrong one. Friend, I'm here to tell you, if you're waiting on Kevin Sexton, Matt Garrett, Preston Burke, any of these other preachers, I'm going to be honest with you, to save you, you're in the wrong spot. It'll never happen. It don't matter how good you live. It don't matter how often that offering plate is passed around and you fill it full. That ain't doing nothing for you. That ain't doing a thing for you if you don't have the giver of life. So as we began to think there, we began to look in that a little bit further about the three little fellers that they were walking with the right one. They were walking with the right one, and they said, hey, if it's meant for this to be that we're there yet, guess what? So let it so be. We'll be there. And that was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And praise God, when old King got up and he went and looked down in there, he turned around and he said, hey, did we not cast three men in the fire? For lo, I see four. Loose, they were bound. Loose, walking around and unharmed. And the fourth looks like the Son of Man. Friend, it all is a matter of who you're walking with. And I'll be honest with you, these times and that, that I've had to separate myself from folks that I walked with at one time. They was times and that in my life that I've had to separate myself and that from those that I associated my own self with. Why? Because I'm just going to be honest with you. I got a new dog. He's got a real bad habit, and if he don't quit it, he'll end up leaving here. He's got a real bad habit to where I could walk him around in the yard for 30 minutes, but no doubt as soon as I pick him up and he jumps in that old dog box, and Jordan Potter, it don't matter if I make it 2 minutes down the road, I timed it the other night, that dog will mess in the box. Well, guess what? The other night I had him and my other dog in there on the same side, and I knowed which one messed, but the other one got it all over him. Friend, if you're around the wrong ones, That old filth, that old smell, that old stench is going to end up rubbing off on you, whether you like it or not. So you better, and that be mindful and that of who you surround yourself with. You better be mindful, all of you young people, no doubt, in their minds that they talk about being popular. Guess what? Jesus, he wasn't too popular. His friend circle, and that was the 12 people. And guess what? One of them betrayed him. And so what did he do? He got smaller, and it got smaller. Guess what? You don't need to know. Everybody in the world don't have to see your highlight reel. They just need to know that what you got on the inside is real.
Yes.
It don't matter if you post scripture online every single day.
Come on.
It don't matter if you post it. It don't matter if you talk about it. It's a matter if it's on the inside. It's a matter if it's on the inside. So friend, let me tell you that about a few folks that had it down deep on the inside. No doubt I already mentioned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Praise God. They were willing. They said, our God is able. But if he don't, guess what? We're okay with it. Oftentimes, and Pastor, I don't mean to step on your toes because I'm going to step on mine too. The other night, matter of fact, is last night, we was driving down the road, and there was somebody on Gatewood Ford Road running 26 miles an hour. And I'm going to be honest with you. I turned and I looked at my wife, and I said, praise God, I wish they'd go on. No doubt. And as soon as I got the opportunity, I smoked their doors. Guess what? She said, sometimes, she said, do you not realize and think, honey, we don't have to be in a hurry every time we go somewhere. And I got convicted me. Why? Because it seems as though old Jess is always in a hurry. No matter where he goes, he's wide open. And if I'll just be honest with you, I've got a few tickets in my day just because of that. And so oftentimes, and that we tend to forget that maybe that vehicle is going so slow in front of us because God knows what's up ahead.
Yeah. 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 Sure. Preach, brother.
Why is it that oftentimes we say we'll get real mad? There's an accident in front of us. Matter of fact, it happened on the way. There's a vehicle stalled on Taylor Place. Me and the girls and Joanna, we was running a little later than normal. We got there, and there was a vehicle stalled out on Taylor Place. So I locked them up just a little bit and dove off right-handed and made a detour and come back around and hit 127. Friend, if we ain't careful, we'll take the wrong detour to a dead-end road. It's important. That's why. And I'm going to read it to you right here. That's why in Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And then there's a semicolon there. That starts something new. And it says, and lean not unto thine own understanding. There's often times that old Jess leans not on his own understanding. These times and that where Jess thinks he's got this thing figured out. These times and that where Jess feels and that he's planned so good that it's all going to be all right. And then guess what? Something happens. Then you got everything. Hey, I don't care how strong you are. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how fit you think you are. If a 75-pound desk will put a man down for about 10 7 weeks. Guess what? Praise God, it don't take much. But I'll tell you what, the Lord will use that for His benefit and His glory to get your attention. So it's important that we lean not on our own understanding. But praise God, we look at verse number 6, and it'll tell you what to do. It says, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. We ought to be asking Him every step of the way. A lot of times in that growing up, everybody that I knew had these little bracelets that said WWJD on it. And everybody said, what would Jesus do? But guess what? And that oftentimes it ain't WWJD as far as Jesus. What would Jesse do? Why? Because that's how we live life. We want to do what we want to do when it's convenient for us. And oftentimes, and that no doubt, we coming out to the house of God. A lot of people do this. You can throw stones at me if you still got them that I gave you the last a few times ago. That'll be all right. But guess what? We ought not come to the house of God just to check a box off, just to say, hey, we've been to the house of God. Hey, I've come. I've filled my seat. I've put my money in the offering plate. I showed up. I blessed them with my presence. Guess what? It don't happen that way. Only reason that we gather out here is to edify the church. And what the Bible says over there, John said it the best. He said, I must decrease so that He may increase. Oftentimes that our heads get so big, there ain't no room in there for it. And so it's important that we take a step back and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? But so oftentimes, old Jess, he'll lean on his own understanding. So oftentimes, old Jess, he'll do what he wants to do. So oftentimes, Jess is like old Jonah. Jess, not talking about you, Jonah Burke. I'm talking about the Jonah in the Bible. And that old Jess is like old Jonah there. The Lord will say, I need you to go over here. And then I'll say, no, I'm going to go over there. But guess what? I end up like Paul, and I end up shipwrecked. And then I get took down to the pits of hell, and that through the belly and that of the whale. And then before you know it, I have to cry out and that to God and let Him know that I'll do what you want me to do. I'm going to be honest with you. You and me may fight and you may win, or I may win too. But friend, I'm telling you, when you try to go contrary and that to the will of God, that's a battle you'll lose every single time. Why? Because He's just in doing so. If you're a child of His, we ought to line up with Him. If you're a child and that a God friend, we ought to be about the Father's business. And so, as we began and that on this, I began to think about old Mary and Martha over there. And over in John chapter number 11, very familiar scripture about where Lazarus dies. And then John chapter 11, verse number 20, it reads this. It says, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met Him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Friend, little did she know that it was for the glory of God. Right. Little did she know that the reason that Jesus tarried His coming was for His glory. Right. Was for the glory and honor of the Father to show and that the power. But guess what? Friend, I'm going to be right there with her, Pastor. I'm so dumb that I think a lot of times that, boy, Lord, why in the world you let this happen? Why did this vehicle break down here? Why in the world did I get behind some slowpoke and the only thing I'm doing is trying to get home? Why in the world is this accident right here, and the only thing I'm doing is trying to get home.
Right.
Well, friend, sometimes I feel like in my life it's the Lord telling me, son, it's time to slow down a little bit.
Right.
Not just driving. Right. Sometimes it's time to slow down. And look for the small things that we tend to overlook.
Right.
Oftentimes, old Jess tends to overlook some small things that turn in to be a real big help. You know, it's just like your vehicle and getting an oil change. If you don't change the oil in that thing, and you just run it and run it and run it, that small little piece, it'll tear the whole thing down.
Yep.
And so, friend,
yep.
We ain't there yet.
Right.
But we can still enjoy it while we're here.
Amen.
Sometimes in that, we need to get back to where pointed in the right direction.
Right.
I thought about blind Bartimaeus over there. As he was sitting there and he just heard.
Right.
That Jesus was passing by.
Brother.
And he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.
Oh, what a prayer.
Have mercy on me. Friend, sometimes we get blinded, and I've often thought in that if I ever had a choice, that I'd want to lose my sight rather than my touch. Can't have here anyways, but I'd like to keep here. And my taste and my smell and all that stuff. But you know, a blind person has got to be led around. And they're trusting somebody to keep them out of harm's way.
Yeah.
Friend, we ought to just reach out to the hand of God.
Yeah.
Say, Lord, I'm trusting you to lead me where you want me.
Yeah.
I'm trusting you. Why? Because he's told us and he's showed us so many times throughout his word. Why? Because flesh will give every excuse possible. I can't talk. That's already been debunked.
Sure.
I ain't got very good vocabulary. I ain't neither. You say, well, I'm afraid. Well, afraid was preached this morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your fear,
right,
through Christ, your fear becomes his magnification. Why? Because he takes what you think is impossible and makes it possible. Because me and you see there's no other way. But he does. He knows the way. And so, friend, if you're here today, and maybe you're not where you think you ought to be on this journey, if you're say, hey, I'm next month, in 3 days, and next month, I'll be 35 years old. And I look back over my life, and I wonder, boy, what more could I have done already? What more could I have done already? Why? Because you talk to some of the older generation and they'll tell you, Brother Delmer will tell you, this feels like yesterday.
Right, sure it does.
And as I go through each year, it seems like each year gets faster and faster and faster. Seems like yesterday we were over at the hospital having Lily Joe. Guess what? The end of next month, she'll be 7 years old. And I know several of y'all have got children. You say, well, just hold on. Because it gets faster.
Yeah.
And then several of you will say, then you've got grandkids. And then some of y'all will say, you got great grandkids. Friend, life is even unto a vapor, for it appeareth for a little while, and then vanisheth away.
That's it.
We're not promised tomorrow. So why put off to tomorrow what you can get done today?
Amen. Question is, are you there yet? And if you ain't there, what are you waiting on to get there? Amen. Be a good time to ask yourself and be honest with the Lord. Are you where you want to be with Christ?